a few things on Parshas Balak that caught my fancy. And we want to focus on a number of psukim in the parasha. At the very beginning of the parasha, Parshas Balak begins with Perek Chaf Beis, and Balak, of course, sends a message to Bilam, and as part of his, shall we say, buttering him up, he says to him, "Eis asher tevarech mevorach, vasher ta'or you are." So when you bless someone, your blessings are meaningful, and when you curse someone, they will have that impact. But the question is obvious. What was Balak's intention here?
To curse.
To curse. He had no intention to bless. So the first one to notice this is the Sfarno. And the Sfarno says something very interesting. I only mention it to you, not because it'll give you Hashkafas HaChaim so much, but because it's just interesting to get to know the Derech of the Sfarno. This is like a real typical Sfarno. He says, Kocho, referring to Bilam, Hoya lo levarech el lekalil. Ki the Amr Rabbo Seinuzal. V'lachein lo shal mimenu shivarcheu lenetzach. He says something very interesting. Then you have to read this 15 times till you figure it out. It's like written in code form. But he's saying, nobody thought that Bilam had the koch to be mevarech. This is a fake. Don't be fooled by this. Balak was not really, really meaning that Bilam has the power to be mevarech. That power he doesn't have. Chazal say, and we'll see it in a minute, in the Argid Al Yo, based on the Gemara and Brachas Zion, what exactly was Bilam's power? And it was not a power of being mevarech. That was given to Avraham Avinu, not to Bilam. But what was he saying? He was saying, and in order to prove his point, to demonstrate this, the Sfarno said, if Bilam had the power to be mevarech, what would Balak have asked him for? A bracha. He says he never asked him for a bracha. Lo shal mimenu shivarcheu. Imagine if you knew someone who had a great koach bracha, you went to the Grachnevsky, you would certainly ask for a bracha, wouldn't you? So why is it that Balak never asked for a bracha? The answer is because he knew very well that Bilam had no power to give a bracha. Aval Omar, so rather, what was he trying to say here when he conveyed the message to Bilam through the Shluchim, Eis asher tevarach yivurach? He says, Omar, this is what he declared, Yodati es asher tevarach yivurach lichvodo shel Bilam, lahoro shel ochashav oso lemazik bilvad. The psychology is very cute. If Balak would have said to Bilam, all you know how to do is to curse people. You're just one gigantic mazik. You can only bring about damages to people. Bilam would be very insulted by being categorized as having no uselessness other than to curse people. So in a sense, by what Balak was trying to do was sort of like buttering him up. He says, you have the koach both to bring good things to the world and to bring destructive forces into the world. Of course, I need you now at this sensitive junction to bring a destructive, to curse the Jewish people, but you're also great. You're an all-around guy. You know, you can be mevarech as well. I just found the Sfarno psychology very, very fascinating. But in any event, the Sfarno, in order to demonstrate that Bilam had only a one-directional power, meaning he could only curse people, he could not be Mubarak, he invokes a Gemara in Brachos. And I want to see how the Rosh Hashiva of Tarvadas, Rav Gedalia Shor, in his Pirush on Parshas Balak, how he understands the Gemara in Brachos. So if you take a look on the right side of your page, and I apologize if you need a magnifying glass, and if you don't, then I don't have to apologize. But I think you can make it out. We have Baruch Shem enough light in the room. He says in Masechta Brachos Daf Zayin, the Gemara says, "Umi ikar rischa kamei kadosh baruch hu." Is there such a thing as a moment of divine wrath? In the Gemara says, in fact, it's true. The Tana we learned in a Raisa, based on a pasuk in Tehillim, "Kel zoem bechol yom," the Kaviyochel gets angry on a daily basis. Zam, zam is a very strong, powerful force of anger. And the Gemara goes on to say, Vikama Zam. You know, how long is this period of Zam on a daily basis? It's as if God has a certain schedule. You know, every minute of the day is plugged in, and he has a moment in which he's plugged in for Zam. So the Gemara answers, Rega. You know, it's like an Israeli, you ever see the Israelis when they go, Rega, Rega, Rega? You know, so this is just one minute in time. The ankle, Bir Yechol, Lechavinos Hashem. It's such a short fraction of a second that no human being can somehow pinpoint exactly that moment of Zam, except for one person. Who's the only individual who can do so? Chutz mi Bilam HaRosh. Melamed shayodea lechaven osa shosha kodesh baruch hu koespa. And then the Gemara says, in light of the fact that Bilam had this uncanny power that no other human being partnered with him on, namely that he could pinpoint exactly the moment of Zam, we now can see the picture of how much we have to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in saving us from the power of Bilam. The power of Bilam is so incredible, it's so invincible, that now let's appreciate HaKadosh Baruch. And that's the Pasuk in Micha. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Micha. The Gemara says the following, Hainu di amalei navli Yisrael. This is what the Navi says to the people of Israel. Ami, my nation, my people. Zecharna, my yatz, Balak, Melech, Moav. Leman das tzidkos Hashem. If you want to appreciate the tzidkos, the righteousness that God intervenes on behalf of His people to save and spare them, then understand what was the conversation between Balak and Bilam, what agent Bilam was and for what purpose, and how much power he had. Because the Pasuk says, Vekel zo'ein b'chol yom. U'mefarash Rabbi Eliezer, Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, du'u kama tzidkos asisi machem. You know, the Gemara says in many places that we have to understand and appreciate what God gave for us, what He did for us. In other words, during this entire period of time in which Bilam was trying as hard as he could to curse the Jewish people, there was no kas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled away his zam. He withdrew his moments of anger, because had he not done so, Lonishtayer misonei shal Yisrael sardu polish. Behind the kamalei Bilam lebolak. Here's a pasuk which we'll take a look at in Perek Chav Gimel of Parshas Bolak. The pasuk says the following. Right, this is after Bilam is so frustrated. Balak is so frustrated. He says, I brought you here to curse the Jewish people. What's going on? So Bilam's response is, Lo ekov lo kabo kel. I can't curse if God hasn't cursed. Uma ezom lo zom Hashem. How can I bring about this curse if there's no zom of Hashem? Omo lo ma ezom lo zom Hashem. And the Gemara says, because there was no zom. Okay, up until this point, is the Gemara in Brachos. Comes along the Rosh Hashiva, and look what he says. It's a brilliant insight. He says, there's another pasuk here in Parshas Balak. It's easy to remember where it is. Chav Beis, which is a little bit earlier. And there it says, now listen carefully to the Lashon HaPasuk. It says, Vayichar af Elokim ki holechu. Now, al pi pshat, on a simple level, God gets angry because Balak goes with the entourage. Bilam attaches himself to the entourage of Balak. But it's a little bit strange because in the very preceding pasuk it says Hashem appears to Bilam in a dream at night and he says Kum lechi dam. So what's vayakom? What's this? The vayichar af Elokim ki holechu. And it's fascinating to see a Rosh Hashiva of a so-called Lithuanian yeshiva, Tarav Das, who quotes the Arizal. And how does the Arizal, in a sense, revolutionize our understanding of these words of the pasuk? Pirish Arizal, Shechara li'af Elokim. Li'af Elokim. There's something called af, And it was very upsetting to the Af. What does the Af represent? The Zam of God. The Zam of God was very put off over here. Shetzarech lahaloch mimenu. Right? It says, ki holechu. Instead of who, the Arizal sees it as mimenu, meaning the Af had to skittle-battle, go away. Holach mimenu. Hainu, shechara lemidas ha'af shetzarech listalik. That's not fair. As a result of Bilam and his project to curse the Jewish people, Af got shortchanged. He could no longer play the role that he wanted to play. He had to be mistalik. Here in this country, that's a very popular word, but it goes back to Chazal. No, the Israelis will say tistalik mipo. Uf mipo, yeah. Not Af, but Uf. A very similar word. Shalom kas made Bilam, because during this entire period of time, there was no kas. And the pasuk says afterwards, "Vayisyatzev Malach Hashem." And Rashi says, "What's Vayisyatzev Malach Hashem? Malach shel rachmim hoya. It was a malach of rachamim." So, what kind of midah was shora in the world at that time? Not din, but rather what? Racham. So of course the Midas HaDin gets very put off, very insulted. What's going on here? It's not fair. I want to be pile at this, and you're taking it away from me. Habir Bazehu Dehine Ava. Now look how the Rosh Hashiva, again, I learned so much from methodology. The Rosh Hashiva is now going to quote a Ramban. I used to say a weekly shir in Ramban al Torah. There's so much wealth of Hashkaf in the Ramban al Torah. And this is a Ramban al Torah. If I had time, I would have printed it for you. But I was cutting and pasting here, and I ran out of time. This is the Ramban in Parshas Yisro on Zachar v'Shomer b'Dibur Echad, in which the Ramban explains the difference between Laila, Leil Shabbos, and the day of Shabbos. Leil Shabbos is the Bechina of Zachar, and Yom Shabbos is the Bechina of Shomer. And in the context of this whole discussion, he says that Zachar and Shomer represent the division of all the Tariq mitzvahs into two categories. And Zohar represents the mitzvahs Aseh, and Shomer the mitzvahs Loz Aseh. And Zohar comes from the midah of Ahava. Ahava is the yisod of mitzvahs Aseh. In other words, we fulfill mitzvahs Aseh out of Ahava for the Melech. And Shomer, which is the Loz Aseh, comes from the midah of Yira, of fear. You know, we don't want to violate Chashom, the rule of the king. And the Rosh Hashiva now is going to use this to shed a new light on why it was so terrible that there was no Zam. Because if I were to wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you, hey, there's not going to be any Zam today, wouldn't you jump out of bed and say, yay, yeah, hooray, hurrah, you'd be excited. You'll pull out the tooth of Macholos, there's no Zam today. But what Rav Gedalia Shor wants to convey to us is that Zam is built into the universe, and it's a necessary part of the whole picture, the divine scheme of things. And basically, there's no Ava without Yira, and there's no Chesed and Rachman without Din. A beautiful, beautiful Ashkafi. He says, "Abir b'zedeini Ava hi amida shemeviyo lidei kiyum ha-mitzvos b'kum v'aseh v'yira nitzreches l'kiyum mitzvos lo saseh." He says, he says that if you have unbridled ahava, it could lead to an intensification, intensify all the passions of man. There's nothing to curb those passions, to what we call in modern Hebrew harta'ah, you know, to counterbalance. And then tava, hedonism and pleasure seeking goes wild. Because we need in this world the meat of yira. We have to have somehow a fear of the king. Everything that we encounter in this world that seems to be negative, that seems to be justice, divine justice, is meant to perpetrate in our minds and to engender in our feelings a sense of yira. He says, "V'lachin yesh hanhaga shel kel zoim b'chol yom." Kel zoim b'chol yom is not because God is a meanie. He's a bad guy. He wants to give us a fraskin ponim. Hainu kedei lashpia midas hayira B'toch HaBriya. What's the source for Yira in this world? Without which, you know, we'll have like a Dora Mabul. It's going to be Yishkes Kol Basar. It's the power of Zam. The Zam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what generates a Midah of Yira. The Kevan Shemidas HaZam Mitzreches Me'od. And since the universe cannot be balanced without Zam, we need the Zam to balance the Midas HaRachamim. We need the Yira to balance the Av. Is be osam hayomim shalozom Hashem lachem vayichar af elokim. Says the Arizal, charolo lemidas hadin. Midas hadin was very upset, and therefore the whole universe was tilted, was askew. Ki holichu shitzar kol lechus l'stale milashpia yira ba'ol. Okay, Rabbosai, now, can you figure out the next paragraph without looking at it? What is the Rashiva going to say now is the Eitz of Bilam? How is Bilam, if he can't succeed in cursing the Jewish people, because there's no Midas HaZav, what's he going to do?
If there's no Yira, then they're going to fall in their Mitzvah anyway.
Through what, Avera?
Through the passion of the...
Correct, it's Nusav, but also... See? After all is said and done, you can quote the Arizal from now till Mashiach comes. But at the end of the day, he's a Litvish Rosh Hashiva, and he's going to say a Lundus. So let's see his Lundus. He says, Lachem, Haisatzas Bilam, Lahafkir Benos Moa. Why? Why is this the right moment to entice the Jewish men into this passion, you know, sin of passion? He says, "Kevan shebaosam hayomim lo sholta midas hayira." There's no yira in the world because there's no zam. Yira emanates from zam. Zam is the source of yira. Umipnei zelo hayalahem hakoach lizgaver. In other words, we need the yira that's pumping us up to overpower the temptation and the passion. V'nichshelu b'maisa shel shitim at the point, at the top location of shitim. That's where they fell prey to the intense power of the Eitzahar, of the passion, because there was no Yira. But he goes on, another chap. He says, "Ubazen nukhal lefarei shapsukim b'tchilas parshas Pinchas." There's a very strange use of syntax, of language, in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. It says, "Bekanoos kinasi b'tocham." Upirish Rashi b'katzfo es haketzef shahoyel liktzo. Ainu shepinchas nislavish b'midas hakina. So what is the midah of Pinchas? Kina. Right? Zealousness. Anger. Punishment. Hifil es midas hayira l'toch klal Yisrael. Why was it absolutely critical, in order to put a stopgap measure against this wanton, unlimited, licentious, passionate behavior, what was now necessary? Again, there was no Zam in the world. There was only Rachamim. There was only Ava. Ava unbridled leads to passion. What's going to stopgap the measure here?
You had a form of passion.
A form of what? Yeah.
A form of Yira.
And that Yira is called in the Lashon HaTorah, Kina. That's going to be the role of Pinchas, to bring back Yira into the world. And boy, does he do a good job, Kano and Pogiwa. And the Torah doesn't spare words in describing the gory action of Pinchas. V'hifil asmida sayiru l'toch klal Yisrael. U'pol b'kin oso mashahoyelo l'akadosh baruch hu l'fol ba'an hogash shel kel zoin b'chol yom. What was ever lacking because of the threat of Bilam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to withdraw his kel zoin b'chol yom, was now supplied by Pinchas. Shemida zuhi l'tzorech hayiru. And therefore v'lo ki lisi as B'nai Yisrael b'kin osi hainu kevach Pinchas Paul b'kin osu as midas hayira l'chein lo hayetzorek l'zamo shal HaKadosh Baruch. He says lo chilisi is because now we've replaced, and now we've granted that, we've entered that into the equation, that piece of the puzzle that will again reestablish the balance in the world between Yira and Ava. And therefore, we don't need the Zam. The world could exist without the Zam and function on a moral level. Sherei Bilam Arosha Yochel Lechavin Saregen Kol Shal Zam VeChas V'Sholom Hoysa Chala HaKlol Shal Bilam LeChalos B'nei Yisrael. There was no choice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say but to remove, withdraw his mid of Zam. Yulei Maisa Knoz Shal Pinchas. But then, at this point, that the Jewish people, because there's only Ava in the world, and no Midas Hayira, they would now fall prey to the worst Averis. So HaKadosh Baruch had no choice but to bring back Zam. But if he'd bring back Zam, what would happen? Bilam would be back on the stage here, cursing Bnei Yisrael. Because he'd be having the show of Zam. So the only way out here was for Pinchas to jump up and take the law into his own hands by engendering the Midah of Kinah. Ilulea Kinah Shal Pinchas. Vizel Masha Omar Akrov Tachas Asher Kinah Lelokah. You see the word Tachas, there's a substitution here. The Kinah is substituting for the lack of Zam. Pirush Rashi Bishvil Elokov Ubazev Aichaper Al Bnei Yisrael. That brings about the ultimate kapara to save the Jewish people. Ubesifri Yisal Aichaper Al Bnei Yisrael Lo Nemar Ela Vayichaper Al Bnei Yisrael Sha'ad Achshav Lo Zaz Ela Omeid Umechaper Ad She. What is this next word? Ad She Yichyu Amesin. I think it is. Actually, if you are Mason, well, if he anal yishlom the kavani he al mashe Paul Pinchas b'maisa kanos lash pia yira b'socham the maisa shenemer b'torah who nitzchi haynish Paul b'maisa lash pia yira b'toch klali shol ad sofadoros. Unbelievable. The Rashi says that this kina was effective in engendering yira in Bnei Yisrael for all generations. Okay. Let's, if we have a few more minutes, I don't have my watch here. What time is it?
5:07.
So we have 5 more minutes or so. Let me just go back to the original question that we asked. What does Balak have in mind when he sends a message to Bilam? Eis asher tevarech mevorach. Again, we have the Sfarno's approach on a psychological level. But I'd like to share with you some insights of the great Hasidic giants over the centuries. And there's something called the Igra de Kala. He was one of the great Hasidic Rebbes. His name is Rav Tzvi Elimelech Shapiro. I wrote his name down on the page if you see it. And he says something that's very similar to another Pirush, which is the Talba Shamayim. His Pirush, the Igra de Kala, is not here, but rather it's in the Parshas of the Mishkan. There it says, V'chol chacham lev b'chem yavo v'yasu. And he has a diuk in the Lashon HaKra. It should have said, Kol Chacham Lev Shebachem, amongst you. What is Bachem? So he wants to find some symbolic meaning, some remez to the word Bachem. O Asher Bachem. Or it says, Asher Bachem. Okay. Ach. Efshar hu merames ki ra'inu be'inenu shemi asher eno se'eni seichalo Yuchal lizbonein b'nidava b'nidivus b'nisinas nisina b'yad ha'adam l'tztaka. Supposing you collect tztaka, you raise funds, and if you're a chacham lev, you can have an insight into what motivates a person to come forward and make a contribution. Is this a sincere contribution for the sake of the cause? Is the money kosher money? Where is it coming from? You have some big billionaires out there that are suspect of all kinds of scandalous behavior. How did they get their money? Says the Rebbe, you have to be very careful you receive tzedakah, that it's coming from a good cause. Eizeh kavana hoya l'nosein hazeh v'advarim yiduim l'maskilim shepu'ulas ha'odam v'yigi'oso. Poel, in other words, whatever your actions are as a human being have an impact on the object of that action, a physical object. And hamamon hi hanifal, the monies that accrue to you are a result of your actions. So your actions are going to have an impact on the very money, on the very possessions that you own. V'koach hapoel banifal, and that power inculcates, penetrates into the object itself. If Chas V'Shalom he acquired this money in an illegal fashion, he says, "Vizel Shama Kol Chacham Lev Bachem." Bachem, he's emphasizing the base Chaf Mem. It's like the idea of what's in it. What have you placed into the mammon? What's a lomar? Osam Chachmi Alev Shemachem Chacham Lizboni Bachem. They could look into your eyes as you come forward with your contribution. They could see inside to your very pnimiyut. Then they encourage you to come forward with your contribution because they see it's really coming from a good, pure source within your neshama. Kibur osom osu nedova shiyeshba ezekach poel meguna. But if chashov they see that in the gift that is being brought for this holy cause, there's something meguna, there's something fair, something awful, because it came through illegal loans, lo yiratzenu l'Hashem. It will not bring about the goal that we want to establish of ritzui Hashem. It's not going to add and enhance the sanctity of, in this case, the Beis HaMikdash. So I just want to show you how another one of the Hasidic Rebbes uses the same idea without quoting it, but in the context of this pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Bolak. Ki yedati es asher tevorach mevorach. Tzarech bir, what's he saying to him? That I know that you have the power of blessing. After all, the last thing on Balak's mind was to bless the Jewish people. V'nira lomar al pi ma shehevi mori v'rabi hagon hakadosh zuchuso yogin aleinu, and it's brought down in all the sfarim, etc. Talyateshim akav matonis kesef ozov mirishon. If you receive gifts of gold and silver, precious jewels and so forth from Rishoyim, from evildoers, Yochol Lahaziklo, instead of building up your spirituality, your achieving your goals in Kedusha and sanctity, it has the exact opposite impact. I know Rav Osef, if you know this about the Brisker Rav Zichron Levracha, he did not accept any contributions from people who weren't Altaris HaKodesh. Did you know that? I mean, that's why the Brisker Yeshiva was so was in the state that it was in. But and then the Brisker Rav was very makpid on that. You know, he had to know the source of the gift. You know, it had to be kosher and pure. Otherwise, he would be rejected. You know, he wasn't a very big Zionist in terms of his love for the state of Israel. The Brisker Yeshiva never took a penny from the Zionist state because this was his hashkafa. And he gives a fascinating example. Gehazi, who remembers who? Gehazi was whose sidekick? Elisha. He was a groovy younger man. He was disgusting. So it says in the pasuk, in the Lachan Beis, Vitzaras Naman Tidbak Becha. It's contagious. Why? He says, Shekibel Hanochri Kesef. He took the money, basically without the right pure kavanas, from the Goyim, Naaman, who wanted to worship the idols, and therefore is Tidbak, there's a Dveikus of the Tzaras itself. Nimtza, what comes out of this whole discussion? What's the Yisoda Yisodos? And what's the Ashkaf that we should take from this? The Misha Nene, he who receives benefit, Me'ish, from someone else, Tzarech Lizoyer, should be very careful when you get benefits from somebody. What should he be careful about? Shehe ish kosher, v'yari elokim, v'lo rasha. I mean, after all, he's giving you a gift. What do you care where, you know, what the source is? Oh, no. You have to be very, very scared about this. Zeu shomar akosim. Now we come full swing back to our apostle that we started with. Eis asher tevarech mevorech. V'kevon shehenu mimcha. Shuv tachol haklol. According to this pshat, what was Balak's intention here? What was his goal? But he said, "Eish Hashem tavarach mevarach."
To get Bilam to give a bracha, and if we accept the bracha, we're getting a bracha from a rasha.
Exactly. Isn't that a brilliant chaff? I mean, a full 180 degree turnaround. Yeah, what we call in baseball a curveball. Again, I don't know its counterpart in other English speaking countries. He says, he's basically sending a message to Bilam, make sure to be mahana the people of Israel through your bracha. Shuv tachol haklola, shenenu miish kamocha, and then mimela eisa shantar yuhar. There's no need to be makal them. Just give a bracha. That itself is a klola.
That's hard to understand. I'll keep shut.
You have to have a chassidish. I see, Moshe, you're not trained in the chassidish
at all. Doesn't feel the story at all. Because Balak, every time Bilam was mevarech, then he got angry.
Right.
So, started to.
But take a look at the Kusnasar, because if you don't like this chat, you're not going to like this one even more with the Kalvach Homer. Look at this Hasidish chat. This comes from Rabbeinu Rabbi Yitzchak Verger. He says the following, that the Zohar really asks this question of Jamai it's Torah Chachi Bracha. Why was he asking him for a Bracha? The began Klola Haviyazil. He came for a Klola. So what does this possibly mean? Esa Shetavarach Navara. Says the Kusnas Or, and he's going to quote a different Zohar. Leader Yashif al Pi Nigla. He calls it Nigla. That's an interesting word. Nigla is usually not the secrets of the Torah. But Isa, it says in the Sfarim that Bilam was a Gilgal of which neshama? Of Lavan. Did you ever hear this, Moshe? You're not into Gilgal. Yeah, okay. Transmigration of souls, it's called in the fancy. The Ramban has a lot about it in his Pirush HaTorah, in the Pasha Yibum, in the Pasha Tamar. He has it in many different places. He calls it the Sod HaBriya or something like that. So in other words, what we're looking at Bilam, but we're really seeing, it's just that we can't see with the naked eye, is Lavan. Now it's interesting that Lavan was the one who bestowed the greatest bracha on Klal Yisrael, which is totally antithetical to what Balak wants to achieve. What did Lavan say to Rivka when he said, "Achoseinu"? You remember in Parshas Chaisara, after Eliezer finally convinces Besuel and Lavan to give up the hand of Rivka to marry Yitzchak. V'at heyi la'alfei revava, and then it says v'yirash zaracha shar sona, that your descendants, meaning Yitzchak and Rivka's descendants, would conquer their enemies. Nimtza kumtais levi bracha zu roy liskayim bizarre shall Rivka lira shar oimov. This is going to be the worst thing possible. Bilam is not the man for the job. Bilam is the man to give the Jewish people the power to destroy their enemies. That's not what Balak wants. So therefore, hayu misyare shalo yomar Bilam lelovan kfar beirachti zara shall Rivka shein Yisrael sheyirshu shar oimov. Therefore, lo yoyil klola shalim. What will Lavan / Bilam's response going to be if all Balak says to him, come curse the Jewish people? He would say, I can't curse the Jewish people. I already blessed them. I blessed them that they would destroy their enemies. Lekach is what you call Ezu Chacham Aros, he chapped at sea. So what did Balak do? Hichnis bitvarach. Yadati, I know it's true. Eis asher tivarach mevorach. But yet I also know Es asher tar yov. Af. In other words, the sequence here is crucial. First he says to him, you gave a bracha, I know that, and your bracha is meaningful, but you also have the power even after the bracha to give a klola and basically undermine that bracha, as you have both powers within you, and therefore l'cha na orally esha'am. Okay, I wanted to finish up with the Sfasemis, but we ran out of time, so we'll stop here for a moment, and we'll see if we can fit in another time, okay? If we can fit in 5 more minutes, let's learn the Sfasemis here. He's interested in a pasuk Chav Beis, Chav Ches. Ma asisi lecha ki kisani ze sholosh regolim. Bilam's ason at the beginning of Parshas Bala turns to Bilam and he says, what did I do to you to deserve that you should hit me 3 times? And the Medrash is focused on the words regolim, sholosh regolim. Says the Medrash, gimel regolim, ramazlo shebikesh lakar uma hachogeges gimel regolim. There's an allusion on a deeper level in this pasuk. The sholosh regolim refers to the sholosh regolim, the 3 festivals in which the Jewish people come on Aliyah L'Regel. So the Sfasemis asks the obvious question, Lama Dafka Mitzvah Zu? You know, we have 613 mitzvahs, one of which is Aliyah L'Regel. Why did why did Bilam, according to this interpretation, the Medrash focus his attention on the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel? Let's undermine and destroy the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Why that mitzvah? Why did he find that that mitzvah was antithetical to everything he wanted to accomplish in destroying and undermining the Jewish people? There must be something essential about that mitzvah. Says the Sfas Emes, Ach, we have to know that Gimel Regolim Shaol Bnei Yisrael Regel Hoysa Edus Shehemam Yuchadim Lirushas Haaretz UBeis Hamikdash. He says, if you take Eretz Yisrael and the Beis Hamikdash as the pinnacle of the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, then you'll understand that Gimel Regolim is a mitzvah that demonstrates and publicizes that special connection between the Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael Beis HaMikdash. Meaning Eretz Yisrael and Beis HaMikdash can be given to no other nation on the face of the earth. There's only one nation, an Umam Yuchedes, that's granted and has a special relationship and claim to the land of Israel and to the Beis HaMikdash. And he quotes a pasuk in Nach, in Chumash, of course, first, Yeirah calls Church, it says, Ba'mokom asher yivchar Hashem, in the parish of Re'iah, of Aliyah L'Regel, it says, Ba'mokom asher yivchar Hashem, that Aliyah L'Regel means, we're coming to the place that's chosen, to the Beis HaMikdash. And now he quotes a pasuk in Nach, it says, Shama olu shvatim, there the shvatim went up, Edus L'Yisrael, it was, the Aliyah L'Regel was a testimony of the Jewish claim to the holy site of the Beis HaMikdash. The Chen Amar Osa Rasha, and later on in the next Psukim, Bilam says, Ki Merosh Tzurim Er'ena U'Mikvos Ashurena. What's the emphasis here on the Tzurim, the stones, the Gvaot, the hills and the valleys? It's a reference to Eretz Yisrael. He says, Lefi Pshuto, Sherah b'nevua ki chol tzur v'chol giva be'eretz Yisrael miyuchad l'bnei Yisrael. Every single stone, every individual hilltop is set aside, is designated for b'nei Yisrael, for the Jewish people. And that's what he's declaring in the bracha of Mirosh Tzurim Ar'ena. Eretz Yisrael, what's unique about Eretz Yisrael? Asher hivdil Hashem Yisbarach lavosenu v'lanu. It was designated, it was separated from all the land on the earth, all the lands on the earth for us as descendants of our forefathers, lanu v'eino b'mikre. This is not coincidence that B'nai Yisrael have a connection to the land and possess the land, but rather kishenivra olam, from way back to the original time of creation, haya yisod haolam Eretz Yisrael beis hamikdash, the very foundation of the universe, and its ultimate goal was Eretz Yisrael and the beis hamikdash. And so too, bnei Yisrael were the yisod of the neshamos. That was the ultimate foundation and goal of a nation that would be dedicated to the service of God, and therefore the tzir shall Eretz Yisrael Beis HaMikdash. Again, every single object in this physical world has its ideal form up in Shamayim Li'ela, who mechuvan letzir shall Bnei Yisrael. There's a definite correlation or correspondence between that beautiful surah, that shape or form, the abstract form of Eretz Yisrael up in Shamayim, and the form of Bnei Yisrael. The Isa Yisrael Kinyan, Chazal say Yisrael is a Kinyan, Shemayim Va'aretz is a Kinyan, Beis HaMikdash is a Kinyan, Eretz Yisrael is a Kinyan, everything's a Kinyan. Kol Eile HaKinyanim Tzrichim Zel L'Zel, they all form one entity, one unity. Uli Achar Sha'amru V'Garshenu Min Ha'aretz, Her Eisala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Ha'aretz HaMiyuchad Lahem. This is the land that's designated for the Jewish people. We have a special connection to the land. Its very essence corresponds to our essence. And the Sfas Emes now interprets one of the other brachos that Bilam so beautifully, eloquently, poetically bestowed upon the Jewish people here in Parshas Bolok, Mi Mana Afar Yaakov. And Chazal say that the Afar of Yaakov is a reference to mitzvah sha'osin biafar, the mitzvah satlus baretz, mitzvah shein chobes karka, v'noagim baretz. These are shayach to the Jewish people. Because each one of these mitzvah satlus baretz is meant, and this is a Hasidic concept, to create a tikkun. The ein mishi atakein zos. But who could do that mitzvah and implementing and create that rectification? It's only Rak B'nai Yisrael. And therefore, it's Zaracha, it's the children of Avraham that will inherit the land. They will take its offer and fulfill the mitzvah, Satluz Ba'afar. And that it was all prepared from the start, from its very inception and creation, for the B'nai Yaakov. And therefore, everything belongs to B'nai Yisrael, called Gargir Afar, Mi Eretz Yisrael, Miuchadim Pratius Mi Yisrael. Each little infinitesimal speck of dust that makes up Eretz Yisrael, the ground itself, is connected to another individual member of Klal Yisrael, so that all of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to the entire unity of Knesset Yisrael. And therefore, we're not surprised, if I could add to the Sfasemis' beautiful words, that the Gemara at the end of Ksuvus records how the Amoraim would kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael, not just because of the mitzvah and all the mitzvahs Satulius Baritz, but more than that, because every stone of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to another Jew, and that demonstrates the connection between the land. The land is loyal to the people of Israel. That's its bride, so to speak. And the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and the possession of Eretz Yisrael is one of a marriage relationship. And all that takes place at the time of Yerushas Eretz Yisrael. I want to read with you the Shem Yishmul here in Parshas Bullock from the Sukkot. And I don't know if we'll get a chance to really sink our teeth into it, but at least to get a superficial view as we end the Shia. He quotes the Zohar that Balak sent Bilam, and why? Because Bilam has two letters, the first two letters of Amalek in his name. And Balak has the last two letters. So we take a look at the word Amalek. What we have is the Lamed and the Ayin. Those are two letters that come from Bilam. And we have the Balak. No, I'm sorry. Let's get this straight. We have the Ayin and the Mem. I'm sorry. The first two letters of Amalek. And that comes from Bilam. Because Bilam has both the Ayin and the Mem. And then in Balak we have the Lamed and the Kuf. That's the statement of the Zohar. The Shem Yishmul says, Yesh lefarish dehine Bilam shayakocho b'milula. The power of Bilam inheres in the power of speech. Is the Hechrech Lomar, therefore, if we analyze the power of speech, we must conclude, shahibo gam koch hamachshav. There's no speech without thought. Man, as distinct with to the animals, is granted intelligence, which expresses, reflects itself in his power of speech. The animals don't have the power of speech because they don't have seichel, they don't have intelligence. Koach hamachshav. He says, lo yitochin koach hadibur b'li koach hamachshav. V'hine, amolek yodua shu kotzeitz bo, kotzeitz hamafrid bein hamoach v'haliv. The power of amolek is to split and create a chatzitz, if you will, a separation between the mind and the heart, between the intellect and the emotion. Hainu, sha'afsha sechel yaskil, even though the intellect grasps a certain idea, for example, the belief in God, nevertheless lo yispalu mizeh midos halev. However, the emotional element of man is totally cold, totally dispassionate, so that the moach doesn't have any impact on the lave, and there's no hisoris of the lave. Upirid zeh, and this success of Amalek in separating between moach halevi talking b'shlosh ofanim is successful in three different ways, three different approaches. Number one, mitzad ha-seichel ha-mashpia. Sometimes what Amalek is able to do is to weaken the intellect. Sha-seichel chalosh. It weakens the koach ha-seichel lo ya'ir li'omek ha-lev, so it won't even be able to illuminate the heart. It's too weak, it's too dim. U-mitzad ha-makabel, but sometimes Amalek attacks the lev. Sogar, it sort of closes up the heart. In such a way, she'ena makabel ha'oras ha'seichel. Even though the light and the illumination, the force and the power of the intellect is intense, nevertheless, the lave is too weak. It's too closed up. It's too alienated and removed into itself, isolated, as it were, from the power of the moach to receive that intellect. And then yesh b'shneim yachad. Sometimes Amalek is successful in doing both, to weaken both the intellect and the lip. Vehem nirmazim biosio sov shel Amalek. If you take the letters that make up the word Amalek, there's an allusion here. Shtei osio sorishonos, that's ayin umem. Hem miloshen imum. Imum means when you have a flame that goes out and it's very weak, that's called imum. Amye viozla, the Gemara says above a comment about a flame that goes out. Hainu chashchas hashseichel. The seichel, instead of being bright and illuminating, becomes chashseichel, becomes dark. That's all inherent in the first two letters of Amalek, Ayin and Mem. Ushtei achronos, lamed v'kuf, milosh, and he quotes a pasuk in Tanakh. Kasher yoluk hakelev. That the lamed and the kuf have a special relationship to the dog. The dog is interested in eating and enjoying pleasure. Zo inin kelev mekabel v'edo mashpia. He quotes the Gemara Nedarim. Lo kal ba'anon demishanich minoy v'lo mishanich minoy. Taivas halev. Where is the source of passion? Man's desire for hedonistic pleasure. It's in the lev. Lemalos chomro levad. Only the material, physical dimension of man is to be satiated, is to be fed. V'zeu sigur alev. It's a closed heart. Bifnei ha'oras ha'seichel, not willing to be open to receive the illumination of the intellect. Ki mishu lohut achar tavas libo. Once a person is just consumed by his amazing desire, intense desire to fulfill his pleasures, is then libo levavo otum visosum ifnei kol chokma. His heart, in such a case, someone who's so hedonistically driven, is completely closed. It's completely removed from any connection to the intellect, to wisdom, to true chokma, and to beliefs in the truth. Alkein Amalek shehoisa tachlis hakitzus vapirud hayu bo kol dalet osios. Since all these osios make up these powers of separation, of disconnecting the moach and the lev, that's exactly what Amalek is all about. Therefore, the name itself, Amalek, and its letters really reveal and indicate the essence of Amalek and its program. Vehine Bilam Shayira Ayin Shumi Pasa Machshova Mesiacheses L'Seichel. He says that Bilam, someone who had the evil eye, this is a result of his Machshova, his Seichel, and it's intellectually understood that he has to curse the Jewish people. They are the arch enemy. Is Hayu Bosh Deoso Harishonos, which we said the first two letters of Amalek represent the intellect. Ubalak and Balak is mikoach hamidos. He is trying to reflect the midos hamisyatzos lelev that are result in the heart. Shaybo shteosios achronos. Ubilam hayavo od nosfos shayavo gam kein hadibur asher es asher tevarif vegomer v'zeu shesholach lebolach lebolach lebilam. Shebishneim yesh kol dalet osios hamolik. In other words, we between the two of us, Balak sends to Bilam, we have all the letters of Amalek. Yishlumem kol kochas hara, and therefore we can achieve all the evil in this world. B'machshava, b'dibur, b'maisa. V'yibanu koach l'skomeim negin Moshe and Bnei Yisrael. Now we have the power to attack Bnei Yisrael. So let's get together and form a partnership. Our partnership, the first two letters and the second two letters, the two letters of Bilam together with the two letters of Balak, can form one whole unit called Amalek. And that's Pirut. And we see over and over again how Bilam's goal and his curse that he wanted to curse the Jewish people is all about separating the Jewish people from their source, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Shekhinah, to undermine and vitiate the Kedushas Yisrael. That's what Amalek is all about. And they do it in many different ways, whether they weaken the intellect, whether they close up the heart by filling it up with taivas and the desire for more and more pleasure. Somehow they achieve that separation, cutting the connection, if you will, between the machshava and the midos, between the machshava and the lev, between the dibur and the lev. And that's what is so dangerous about the partnership of these two Rishayim, of Bilam and Balak. Yiratzon may be his will, they will fulfill with great strength. We undermine those powers of Bilam and Balak, of Amalek, that try to completely cut us off from our source, from our goal, and that we should achieve with Yeter Se'et, with all our force, the bringing of the illumination, the light of Chachma, of Seichel, of Elokus into this world, Kei Yiratzon.